Nothing in this show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. Information presented is from internet or other news sources. Always do your own research and due diligence. We're not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast.
Everybody, welcome to Money and Change right here on the Trim Radio Network, better known as trimradio.com. And it's Sunday and it's time for another edition of Money and Change. And boy, I'll tell you what, a lot of stuff is going on. And if you want to listen in a little bit later, we're going to be talking about Social Security, among other things. So stay tuned. And with that, let's get on with the show, because the disclaimer is already done. Let's talk a little bit about the Trim Radio Network. And here we have the fabulous four, Michael Bejas, who's the founder and CEO, Raskella Stefan, who's the chief operating officer. Somebody all dressed up. I guess that's me. Chief relationship officer. And Victoria Smith, who is our chief marketing officer with the Trim Radio Network. And you have to check us out. If you want to be a part of the Trim Radio Network, all you have to do is click on this little red dot. And when you click on the red dot on the right-hand side, you put your name in, you put your phone number in. Don't forget that area code. Also put in what you want to do. Like, I want to do my own show on the Trim Radio Network. I want to call it X, Y, and Z, Good Times Ahead, or whatever you want to do. Put your email address in and put in any other details that you want. And then we will get right back to you. All you have to do is hit send the message and somebody will get back to you very quickly. And that's all you have to do. And it's a really good thing. It's really easy to do the shows. It really is. If I can do them, anybody can do them. What shows do we have on the Trim Radio Network, better known as trimradio.com? Well, we've got Money and Change every Sunday at 7 p.m. And all the shows are live unless I have to play a concert. If I have to play a concert, that's going to be probably late November and into December. So we'll have some encore editions, or people will say, well, those are reruns. Yeah, encore editions. If it's good enough for Rush Limbaugh, it's good enough for me. Also, we've got Life Walk with Christ God with Michael Bejas every Wednesday at 7 p.m. We've got My World, Live, Laugh, and Whatever every Wednesday at 8 p.m. And there we kind of kick back and have a little bit of fun. Also, we have the Natural Marketer podcast every Thursday. And that's with Victoria Smith. And if your company or your sorority, fraternity, high school, even grade school, I don't care. If you need to have some marketing advice, check with Victoria. She's fantastic at it. She really is. So check out her podcast, the Natural Marketer Podcast. Also, now that it's football season, it's Offsides College Football Top 25 with Michael Bejas and company. Every Thursday at 7 p.m. And we have the Positude Podcast, Fridays at 8 p.m. We have Adventure Awaits Around the Bend. Well, it does wait around the bend. Hopefully you got a bend to wait around. Anyhow, Adventure Awaits Around the Bend every Saturday at 1 p.m. And at 1:30, we have Ranch It Up with Tigger and Beck. But then on Saturday nights, hey, we've got the Red Pill Reality Show with Raskella Stefan. And I'll tell you what, it's a good show. Lasts 3 hours. And he brings on different guests and he talks about a whole bunch of stuff. And I'll tell you what, he's good. You really have to listen to Raskella. And I always tell him, you know, he says, well, you can take the green pill the blue pill or the red pill. I tell him I want the green pill. And he hasn't done that yet. Maybe eventually he will. Anyhow, we have some more spaces to fill here. If you want to do your own show, let us know. Contact us, hit that red button, please. And we'll pitch your own show. Yeah, it's easy to do. So you want to check out how we do that, okay? Wow, how do we finance everything? Well, what we do here is shop. You know, anything that you buy from us goes directly into financing all the shows. So if you need a t-shirt, you need a hat, you need a money and change t-shirt, you need a money and change mug, okay, with a handle, you know, that type of thing, insulated mug. You want t-shirts, polo shirts, other types of mugs. Hey, it's there. Just ask us. And all the money that we get from selling all the goodies goes directly into paying for airtime. And airtime isn't cheap. It is not cheap. So please support us. And if you want to advertise us, that's fine. Contact Victoria Smith and say, hey, I want to help fund everything. I want to advertise. And these are the products I want to sell. You can do that. Or if you want to donate, that's fine. But it all goes to pay for airtime. Like I said, airtime isn't cheap. So donate, keep us on the air. And by the way, Trim Radio Network is worldwide. We used to be WTRM-FM, and we decided to go worldwide on the web. And we go everywhere. And I'll tell you what. I've got listeners in Myanmar, which used to be called Burma, South Africa, India, Kenya. I've got listeners in Europe. I've got listeners in North America. And hopefully they all understand English because I don't speak too many foreign languages. So, you know, we do have listeners all over the place. So, you know, hey, check us out. We've got some good shows, and we also have archives, and that's where we put all of our shows that we've done in the past, and so you can check those out too. But hey, check us out. Tell your friends about the Trim Radio Network, and also, if you want to join us, hey, contact us. What else is going on? Oh, the Facebook page. I've got to tell you about the Facebook page. Yes, we do have one, Money and Change / Financially Prepped. Why do I do that? Because I like to list all the topics we're going to talk about. And I put them in the comment section below. And people say, hey, Stu, I don't see the different shows that you're doing or the different things that you're presenting on your shows. Click on the comment section. And if you go ahead and do that, it's very easy. You click on it. Well, actually, you want to click on like, please. But click on the comment section. And when you do, we have all the different topics we're going to talk about tonight. And it's been that way for quite a while. So you can go back to all of our back shows. All you have to do is just go to our Facebook page. And it's easy to join. It really is. All you have to do is say, hey, I want to join. And I just go ahead and approve you, and you can join all you want, okay? Now, what do I put up here? Well, I've got videos, like, for example, the Rogue Prepper, and she talks about being broke and unprepared. She'll show you how you can prepare yourself for any calamity. Save 30% higher, or no, it's a 30% higher electric bill and how to save on that. And that's with Tess, and you can learn some stuff with her. Also, I've got other people, and I'll tell you what, right here, it's a prime example. If you don't catch us on either YouTube or Rumble, you can come back to our Facebook page and click on last week's show. It's very easy to do because we post them there, okay? I mean, Dave Kobler, he's a good old buddy. He's from North Carolina, actually South Carolina. He's almost in North Carolina. He could probably spit over the ridge and be in North Carolina. That's how close he is. And I'll tell you what, Dave talks a lot about the economy, a lot of things going on. He talks about prepping and everything else. I've known Dave for almost 16 years. Great guy. Great guy. And he loves to talk on the phone. He really does. And he's a good guy. He really is. So you want to check out his YouTube show, Southern Prepper One. Okay? So you want to do that. But check us out on Facebook because I put a lot of different things there. And you can join our group. It's very easy. Send me your email address. I'll go ahead and invite you. You got to be on Facebook, but I can go ahead and invite you in. And you can keep abreast of everything that's going on with Money and Change. I've also got a similar page, but it's for my world. And it's in Facebook too. So all you have to do is just ask to join and we'll get you on the list. Wow, what else is going on? Oh, now we got to get into the heat of the matter here. Transportation Secretary Duffy takes emergency action to protest Americans from non-domiciled CDL crisis on highways. And it says U.S. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy announced an emergency crackdown on non-domiciled commercial driver's licenses or CDLs and learner's permits or the CLPs after a nationwide audit confirmed what Zero Hedge, and this is where the article was, renders or readers have known for months, some sanctuary states are allowing illegal aliens behind the wheel of 80,000-pound big rigs, better known as semis, creating both public safety crises on the highways and national security threat. Mm-hmm. And that's happening. Well, 3 months after the trucking advocacy group, the American Truckers United, or the ATU, delivered a letter to Duffy and posted it on Zero Hedge, recommending urgent federal action to ban non-domiciled CDLs to illegals, ATU has been proven right. Illegal labor, exploiting Biden-Harris regime era loopholes, has transformed the nation's highways into a giant mess. And it is. But I'll tell you what. I had a friend. Yes, I do have friends. And he wanted to ship a car, which is a collector type car, vintage, I'll put it that way, a car down to Atlanta, Georgia, to a relative. And this was an expensive car. And what he did was he contacted a company to come to his house and pick it up. And he had several collectible cars. And it was supposed to be a $2,000 transfer from his house all the way down to the source in Atlanta, Georgia. The driver turned out to be from the Ukraine. He didn't speak any English. And what he had to do was use a translator program on his phone. So between talking into the phone and translating it from Russian or Ukrainian into English, and then the person in English reading it and then talking back into the phone, translating it back into Russian or Ukrainian, things got solved. And then he loaded everything up, and eventually the car made it to Atlanta, Georgia. But here he is driving on I-75, which is a major U.S. highway. It is very busy, and it goes to a lot of big towns. And I'll tell you what, he has to be able to read English or know the road signs. And that's how his car got down to Atlanta, Georgia. Luckily, there were no accidents and they didn't deliver it to the wrong place. And if you watch Ice Road Truckers, sometimes they have people driving around in Canada that could be from India or Pakistan or other countries, and they don't speak very much English. They don't speak it very well either. And yet they're driving the roads. So Secretary Duffy was getting a little bit upset about this, and he's understanding what's going on. So to continue the story that was posted, what he did was this. I mean, this is how labor dumping undermines the public safety. Yeah, it is. If you can't read the directions and you can't understand how the traffic flows in the United States, how in the heck are you going to get around it? And what happens is there are CDL mills, there are Mexican CDLs, there are Canadian CDLs, non-domiciled CDLs, and non-domiciled CDL, and learner permits. It's a one big confused mess. And so if you don't understand English and you don't have the proper credentials, then how can you drive in the United States working for a business? Well, to summarize it up, the new rules are non-citizens are no longer eligible for non-domiciled CDLs unless they hold an employment-based visa. Mandatory immigration status checks via the federal SAVE system will be required. States must immediately revoke and reissue improperly issued CDLs that fail to meet the new federal standards. So you can anticipate if you are illegal and you're driving on a non-domiciled CDL, hey, you could get pulled over. You could be arrested. A lot of bad things can happen. But you can take a look at the accidents that are caused by the illegal people driving in the United States. And you can see what's going on. The DOT enforcement actions that are against California. California must pause issuance of non-domiciled CDLs. They have to identify and revoke all invalid licenses. And failure to comply within 30 days will result in withheld federal highway funds starting at $160 million a year and doubling in a year or two. Other states include Colorado, Pennsylvania, South Dakota, Texas, and Washington. Okay, they were also cited for violations. And Duffy pointed out California reckless disregard is frankly disgusting and an affront to the millions of Americans who expect us to keep them safe. It's all about safety on the roads. If you have a legal driver's license or the CDL, and you've had the training, and you can read English, you can speak English, and understand what's going on in English, that's fine. But the first time you get pulled over by a DOT enforcement agent, here in Ohio, it's actually the Ohio State Patrol, but it's also the Public Utility Company of Ohio, PUCO is what we call it. And you get pulled over, you're going to get a fine. You'll probably be arrested for not having the proper credentials. In some countries, if you're caught doing it illegally, you can really end up in jail. So, I mean, you have to be careful. And it's really all about safety. What else is going to fix here? Oh, yeah. The state of New York will be mailing inflation refund checks to 8.2 million households. 8.2 million households, according to the governor's office. And it was announced Friday. And Governor Kathy Hochul's office said that up to $400 checks will be mailed directly to eligible New Yorkers with deliveries to continue through October and November. And that households do not have to apply, sign up, or take any other action to receive the checks. Okay, so here's free money, $400. Or up to $400 between October through November. What do we have in November? We have elections, don't we? Kind of sounds a little suspicious to me, giving out free money during election time. According to Hochul's office, Joint tax filers with income up to $150,000 will receive a $400 payment. And joint tax filers with income between $150,000 and $300,000 will receive $300. And single tax filers who have an income up to $75,000 will get $200. And single tax filers with income between $75,000 and $150,000 will get $150, the announcement said. Starting today, we're sending inflation refund checks to over 8 million New Yorkers because it's simple. This is your money and we're putting it back in your pockets, Hochul said in a statement about the checks. But the check will only be sent if the person filed a New York State residence income tax return, the catch, or form IT-201. Reported income within qualifying thresholds and was not claimed as a dependent for the tax year of 2023, the New York Department of Taxation and Finance said that. We will begin mailing refund checks to eligible taxpayers at the end of September 2025. And the tax agency said, adding that because of the large volume of checks being mailed out over the coming weeks, some people may receive your checks sooner or later than your neighbors, as mailings are not based on zip code or region. This is going to be interesting. Here we are getting money during an election season. Very suspicious. The rebate checks are different from stimulus checks, also known as economic impact payments, which have been authorized by Congress through legislation and distributed by the U.S. Treasury Department. Sounds a little bit fictitious. What do you think? I mean, free money is free money, but where did that free money come from? It's your tax money. Where did the tax money come from? You. It's kind of crazy, isn't it? Think about it. Anyhow, you can check the rest of the article on our Facebook page. Oh yeah, shutdown looms as September jobs data third quarter finale awaits investors. What to watch this week? Well, just to preface this, I'll tell you something. When I worked for the state of Ohio, we were under three different calendars. We had the regular calendar year, January 1st to December 31st. We had the state fiscal year, which started July 1 through June 30th. And then we had the federal fiscal year, which starts October 1st and ends at the end of September. Now, politicians like to play games. And what they like to do is if they don't get what they want, they turn around and they say, well, we're not going to fund the government. And people, well, let's put it this way, they get upset because they're not going to get paid. That's what people think. What actually happens is maybe they put them on furlough for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks, but they get their money anyhow. When government starts back up, they get paid for all of that. Case in point, my dad was giving it, he was getting a tour of a rocket place, I'll put it that way. And it was down in Alabama. And a friend of his used to write for Wernher von Braun, who used to be a rocket scientist, very well-known one. And he used to write his speeches and so forth. So my parents were down there. They were visiting him. And he said, Well, what's going on? He says, well, let's go over to the base. I'll give you a tour of my office and everything and give you a tour of the base. So they went over to the base and the gates were locked. And the security guard was there and he says, well, you can't go in. He says, well, I have a 24/7 pass. I can get in anytime I want. I work for Wernher von Braun. So why can't I go in? And he says, well, the base is closed. There's no money. So nobody's allowed on base except the military people. We have to guard the base. So that was the end of that tour. But that's what happens when they run out of money. They just shut it down. And as soon as Congress goes ahead and approves the money, guess what happens? They get paid. So much for that. I believe it was Redstone Arsenal, I believe is where they were at. So, I mean, you know, you can imagine different ways the government gets paid or doesn't get paid. That's the same thing with state government and their budgets. I mean, I worked a long time and sometimes things didn't happen. You didn't get paid because there was a shutdown for maybe a week or so. Then you got paid, but you got paid for the time that you were off. Well, what else is going on with that article? Let's just see, because there was a video with that. My mouth is not working today. I want you to watch the video.
All right, time now for what to watch on the economic front Tuesday. We're going to get a check-in on.
Oh, it's a check-in.
Consumer confidence. Economists expecting confidence to continue to decline in September. This comes after the report in August saw rising worries about jobs and income. And on Wednesday, we got a new read on U.S. private employment. The ADP report expected to show private employers added 50,000 jobs in September. That would be lower than the jobs added in August. And speaking of jobs, we're going to get a fresh snapshot on Friday of the nation's labor market, the all-important jobs report. This time expected to add 50,000 jobs for the month of September. Fed will be keeping a close eye on the latest data as job growth in the U.S. appears to have slowed. In terms of earnings, Carnival, Nike, and Conagra Brands all expected to release their quarter results. Nike gearing up to report its first quarter results amid the company's so-called Win Now strategy to turn business around. Investors can also expect more Fed speak. Fed's Crystal Waller, Beth Hammack, Rafael Bostic, Phil Jefferson, and Lori Logan all set to make remarks throughout the week. This comes as the rate debate inside the Fed is seemingly intensifying, sending markets mixed signals. And lastly, a look at what's happening in Washington. The deadline for a partial government shutdown is nearing, set to take effect on October 1st at 12:01 a.m. Eastern Time. And also on October 1st, Trump's new tariffs will be going into effect. The president is set to impose 100% tariffs on imported branded drugs, 25% on heavy-duty trucks, and 50% on cabinets.
Well, yeah. What happened to my screen? Oh, my God. I thought I was dead in the water there. Wow. And I'll tell you what, that's what happens. And it's in any administration. And it's politicians playing games is all it is. Now, we'll see how bad everything's going to be at the end of the quarter. And hopefully the government's not shut down very long. And that won't affect the state governments for quite a while. So just hang in there. It'll work out. If it doesn't, you can blame the politicians. Why not? Everybody blames politicians, right? Okay. What else is going on here? If I hit the right button, anybody can hit the right button, I guess. Oh, yes. University of Findlay. And you thought I wasn't going to talk about them. Gee whiz. University of Findlay. By the way, their football team is 4-0. They're 25th in the country in NCAA Division II football. But I'll tell you what, the University of Findlay is more than football and basketball and soccer and lacrosse and so forth. It's a good school. It's located in Findlay, Ohio. It's an NCAA Division II school. But I'll tell you what, it's a very good school. 12 to 1 student faculty ratio. They have 3,200 plus students. Normally it's about 3,800 students. People from 32 different states and 51 different countries. Ohio's 10 most affordable colleges with Money Magazine. Best Midwestern colleges in 2025. That's the Princeton Review. And the best colleges in America in 2024 with Money Magazine. Okay, that's good credentials. They have good professors, good facilities. It's located in Findlay, Ohio, which is an all-American city. And I want to tell you something. It's a good school. If it wasn't, I wouldn't talk about it. I don't get paid to talk about it. I just talk about it because it's a good school. Well, I went there, but I went to so many other different schools, I don't really push them because the University of Findlay is a good school. And so Xavier University, I went to Xavier too. I think I went to a total of 6 different colleges and universities. That's a lot of schooling. But the University of Findlay, hey, it tops them all, okay? It's a good school. Check them out, www.findlay.edu. Okay, can Social Security be saved for future generations? And this was Charles Hugh Smith of Two Minds blog. And it says, are we wise enough to refuse politicians' offer of free money to spend today that was stolen from our future and from our future generations? Well, probably not. Can Social Security be saved for future generations? And many have already concluded it's hopeless. And if the current trajectory is left untouched, that is pretty much baked in. Only a radical reform of the program's basic purposes, design, and funding mechanisms could return the program to anything resembling sustainability and fairness. Well, you take a look about back during FDR's time, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and we had the Depression, and we had a war going on and everything else. People could barely make it. And so his thing was, let's have a tax and we'll go ahead and take that money and put it into the Social Security system. And future generations, when they retire, they pay into the system. And when they retire, they get a set amount of money from the government every month. And this went on all the way up to LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson. And he said, well, we have the Vietnam War going on. We need some money. Why don't we just write some IOUs? And the government will pay the IOUs. We're good for that. And we need the money. So they wrote the IOUs. They put them in a big warehouse in Parkersburg, West Virginia. And they use the money. And all we've been doing is getting IOUs and issuing more fiat currency and causing a mess. Well, we're borrowing against our grandkids right now. And they play games with it. For example, I was told when I retired, I was going to get $750 a month. And then they said, well, hey, now, wait a minute. You worked in private industry and you also worked in government, so you're only going to get $250 a month. Yeah. So anyhow, the system is a little bit crooked. But you take a look at that experiment, it's been a pension plan. And it's not a pay-as-you-go welfare program, basically. It's just put your money into Social Security. And an authentic pension plan deducts a percentage from workers' earned income and deposits these funds into an account that earns income. And it compounds the interest and so forth. Well, the Social Security Administration Trust Fund is an accounting gimmick that makes everyone feel warm and fuzzy, but it's nothing more than self-serving delusion. The trust fund holds non-marketable securities, a nice way of masking the truth, which is when the Social Security Administration payroll tax revenues don't cover the expenditures. Too many people are on retirement and not enough people paying in is basically what it is. And when Social Security was launched in the 1930s, the benefits were modest and many people didn't live long enough to collect the benefits at age 65. They hoped they made it to 65, but hey, it was stacked against them. Fast forward to 1970, the first year that people paid into Social Security taxes, you know, like for me. Well, let's put it this way. You pay into it and pay into it and pay into it and pay into it, and then at the end, you get a problem, right? Department of Defense budgets, okay, in 1970, it was something like $80 billion, according to the report here. Well, anyhow, in 2025, the situation has changed. The U.S. population increased 67% to 340 million. The number of Social Security beneficiaries has nearly tripled from 25.7 million to 74.5 million baby boomers. And the program now costs about $1.6 trillion annually, almost double the 2025 Department of Defense budget at $840 billion. Oh, yeah. So, as it is, you know, common when programs have essentially unlimited budgets and vast tax revenues, you know, hey, you get a little bit of mission creep. That's fine. But the way it is right now, it's far outspent what it's taken in. If you were a business and you were paying out more than you were taking in, wouldn't you be bankrupt? Okay, Social Security. It's going to be bankrupt if changes aren't made and made quickly. And the government has to stop spending money. That's the way it is. Think about it. You can check the rest of the story on our Facebook page. Oh, hey, Lance Roberts at therealinvestmentadvice.com. Are we going to be in a recession? I don't know. I have no way of knowing that. Basically, after the first year that a president's in office, sometimes you do get a recession because businesses want to see what's going on, especially when we have tariffs as of October 1st. And Trump is saying, hey, these tariffs are going to be great because they're 50% or 100% tariffs coming into the United States, bringing money in. But that means that we're also not buying things. For example, if you want to buy a computer at, let's just say, an average of $500, and it's 100% tariff, that means $500 is now $1,000. Things got more expensive. Well, then you don't buy a new computer. You use what you have, and you go from Windows and you use Linux. Linux is free open source. I'm considering looking at Linux instead of spending a lot of money for Microsoft. The problem of it is you have to learn how Linux works. But you can take an old computer and run a lot of good stuff on it, on open source programs in Linux, L-I-N-U-X. Check it out on YouTube. There are a lot of people that want to talk about Linux and how it is. And I only think about 5% of the people use it. But from what I've seen, it can do everything that the more expensive programs have. But anyhow, getting back to recession, we could be in a recession until the economy picks back up. And suddenly, if we start picking back up, maybe the tariffs will help fund other programs. I mean, you don't know until we see what happens here. So is there a recession? There'll be a slowdown with jobs. And when they do that and investors start cutting back, there's a problem. But you're going to get a bounce back after that. Something is going to take off and people are going to say, hey, we're not in a recession anymore. We're going to reinvest. We're going to do things a little bit differently. We're going to economize a little bit more. So I think it's a little too early to tell. Help wanted. These are the most in-demand jobs of the next decade, according to Zero Hedge. In light of the rapid advancement that artificial intelligence tools have made since the release of ChatGPT in late 2022, people have been pondering the potential of artificial intelligence to replace certain occupations, trying to figure out if and how the technology will change the way people work. And while the focus of discussions like this is often on the risk of certain jobs being replaced by emerging technologies, these shifts, as well as social changes, usually offer new employment opportunities as well. And so the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, occupational employment projections, transportation and material moving will be among the faster growing occupations or occupational groups for the coming decade. Okay, transportation and material moving, truck driving, maybe operating trains, planes, Uber, I don't know. But according to this chart from Statista, the most in-demand jobs of the next decade, the largest projected increase in employment in the U.S. between 2024 and 2034, home health and personal care aides. They're going to need 739,800. Software developers, they're going to need 267,700. Stockers and order filers, maybe it's Amazon or others, 235,000 jobs. Fast food and counter workers, 233,200 jobs. Restaurant cooks, 217,000. Registered nurses, 166,100 jobs. General and operations managers, 164,000. And medical and health service managers, 142,900 jobs. Do you think it's right? You know, we've got a lot of home health care people that are needed now in nursing homes. And sometimes they can't find people to work those jobs. Then there's fast food. My God, all the fast food chains around here, when the high school kids go back to school in the fall, all the restaurants are short-staffed. Then you have problems there. Restaurant cooks, a good cook is hard to find. And once you train them, and you train them well, they often go off on their own, working for somebody else. Registered nurses. Oh, we need registered nurses. But they overwork the nurses. They do. They have 12-hour shifts, or in some cases, they might even go 16 hours. And medical and health service managers, yep, they're going to be up there too, because more people being treated in hospitals. So you can check that article out too, okay? Wow, Rusty Ducks custom pens and obituaries? No. Gee whiz. I go and click on something and it changes. Hey, we've got Rusty Ducks custom pens and blanks, and you didn't think I was going to talk about them, but I am. Phil over at Rusty Ducks Custom Pens and Blanks makes really good presentation pens. Like I've said in the past, he's sold them down at Disney World. He's going to trade shows in Japan, all kinds of things. He makes some very good pens in the center sections. He'll make those custom for you too. If you have a pen design that you want to do, hey, let Phil know at Rusty Ducks Custom Pens and Blanks. Check him out on Facebook. I've known him for years. He does fantastic work. And I've got pens by Phil at Rusty Ducks Custom Pen and Blanks. And so does Michael Bejas. Michael Bejas was working on a custom car, and he had that design put on a pen. Phil did the work. We didn't say, Phil, would you make one for me for free? No, we paid him for them. We really did. The workmanship is fantastic. And if you like the Second Amendment pens that he's got, check them out. The display cases for those are fantastic. What else is going on? Oh, yeah. Biggest federal student loan changes. What you need to know. And let's get into that, because everybody has a student, maybe, or a grandchild that's going to school, and they may get a federal loan. So let's see what's going on.
I wanted to ask what some of the biggest changes students and parents should be aware of this year under the Trump administration, if there are any changes.
So there are some changes. One of the big changes that was a good change for a lot of people, and that is a change in asset information. In the past couple of years, if you had an asset, like a business or some other investment or a farm, you had to include that whether or not it was a very big asset or not. Now they're saying that as long as you have 100 or fewer employees in that business or that farm, or now they've added fisheries, then you don't have to include that asset. Now, students this year will be under some new rules that were had gone into effect with the budget reconciliation bill that was passed this past summer. And the biggest change there is some of the student loan limitations. We don't know all of the details yet, because they're actually going to be going through negotiations and setting out the rules for some of those. But we do know that parents are going to be limited in the amount they can borrow. Parents will only be able to borrow $20,000 per year per student for a total of $65,000 per student. Now, if a student is planning to attend a very expensive school or go out of state, that could have an impact on how much money they have available to them under the federal loan programs to pay for an education. They can look at other loan options, but it may be more expensive and harder to obtain. That's the biggest change really impacting students that are undergraduate students for the 26-27 academic year. There are some other changes too, and some of those are good changes, like expanding the Pell Grant program to include workforce programs. Again, the rules haven't been written for that yet, but we're looking for some expanded programs that students can take, like credentialing programs and certificate programs.
And Kathy, we're out of time, but there is so much to talk about on this subject, so we'll have to have you back. Appreciate your insights.
Yeah. And they're still working on the rules, so we'll have to wait and see what happens. Going to school can be very expensive. And I'll tell you what, when you're talking about expensive, well, I went to Xavier University in Cincinnati. What we ended up having there at Xavier was, well, let's put it this way. It was expensive. It was expensive. And I could pay by the semester, I could pay by the month, or I could pay by the week, as long as the grades were paid up. And at that time, way back when, tuition was $98 a semester hour, and now it's over, like, what, $600, $650 for undergraduate. I'd hate to see what graduate school's like. Getting an education is expensive. You might want to consider going to a community college. Get your training at a community college and then go from there. You can save a lot of money. I personally had friends whose students were in high school and they already had their freshman year or even their sophomore year done when they graduated from high school. They were very smart, and the State Community College was right next door, so they could take classes there. So, yeah, something to consider. Well, what else is next? Well, let's just see. If I can find the right page, come on, fingers. I know today is something else. Sometimes wacky things happen on computers, and it's happened. What else we have going on here? Oh, September food inflation. Yeah, since we're having inflation, as of September 2025, the latest available data from the U.S. Department Bureau of Labor Statistics is this. Overall monthly increase consumer price index for all food rose 0.25%, or no, 0.4% from July through August. Annual increase as of August 2025, food prices were 3.2% higher than they were in August of 2024. Groceries versus restaurant prices, food at home, you know, go out and buy your own groceries and cook your own meals, increased by 0.4% in August, bringing the annual increase to 2.7% when compared to August of 2024. Food away from home, that means going out to eat, increased 0.3% in August with an annual raise of 3.9%. Wow. You notice that when you go out to eat. Yeah, you do. And that is something. Well, here's something else. What happens about tips? You go to a restaurant and you have to tip people. Listen to this.
We need to eliminate taxes on tips. Not all tips are included in that. And then in the background, you have a shift in the behavior for tipping, where it feels like every which way you go, you're always having to tip. So your general thoughts on
Andrew Zimmer.
It's a circular firing squad. Tipping as a system has an awful history, right? And it's an antiquated system. But what you also have is people in the front of the house who traditionally are making a lot more money than the people in the back of the house. Now, a lot of folks have argued that group is smaller, that group is oftentimes easier to schedule, et cetera, et cetera. But as we've seen post-COVID, not only has human behavior changed, resistance to tipping, but we've taken away the ability in many states through junk fee bills, like in my state of Minnesota, taken away the ability for restaurants to add a surcharge to your bill that simply goes to, let's say, we're taking 3% and adding it to your bill to pay for healthcare costs and to our, you know, to lend a gratuity to our back of the house employees.
We're doing it in Europe, right?
100%. Well, that's a much more professionalized industry over there. And those employees, the regulations in one part of France are equal in the other part of France. When we talked before about regulatory issues, one of the biggest ones is that state to state, it confuses the consumer. The service charge in one state, a surcharge is A-OK. In another state like mine, Minnesota, it's not OK. We have to have a national plan. But unlike so many other things that we've seen roll out from this administration, it has to have incredible forethought put into this. Another reason why a Secretary of Food would be such an important thing. It's not just, you know, an almost $1 trillion bill like the farm bill that includes SNAP. We're also talking about issues like this that would actually help support the third largest piece of our economy when it comes to jobs, and that's the food service worker.
Yeah, and you think taking an aggregate with rising costs and then the tipping and the inability to really add a surcharge, it all adds up for these restaurants.
Right.
Andrew Zimmer, great insights there. Thank you so much. Appreciate you joining
us. Can I throw in one more thing? GivingKitchen.org. It's the best place to take care of food service workers. And people, Food Service Worker Day is this Thursday, the 25th. At 2/3 of America, you should post a little story about what it was like when you were working down on the Jersey Shore and hashtag it FSW Day.
I have many a story.
FSW Day, and go to givingkitchen.org. Your dollars help, but educating people in awareness really helps too. If you've heard something here today that makes you want to help support a food service worker, a simple act of gratitude helps a lot, and giving a couple dollars helps too.
Yeah,
and it does, but I'll tell you what. When you look at everything, you often say, well, gee whiz, if the service isn't good, you're not going to tip. If you have to sit there and wait for a half an hour just to be waited on, or an hour and a half to get your food, that's poor restaurant management, isn't it? And so you're not going to tip. If the restaurant has a good reputation and very good service, the customers will take care of that restaurant. It's a simple fact. So when you go out and you go to tip, customarily it's 20% on the tip. But when you have tight money going on, you tip less because money's tight and times are hard. So take that into consideration too. Well, with that, guys, that's all I have for this week with Money and Change. You can check us out on our Facebook page. It's easy to join. Stop back next week and check us out on Money and Change, because we'll have some more data and things to save you money. But like I always tell people, and I have for years, pay down your debt. Put some money aside, set up an emergency fund. So if your car breaks down, you got money to help pay for it. Buy some long-term food. Canned goods are great. If you like canned meat products, Keystone meats are the best, really, for long-term storage. Make sure that you get plenty of fruits and vegetables stored up, cans. Frozen foods, too, if you have the ability to have a freezer and store fruits that way. A lot of things to consider, but you pay down your debt, put some money aside, buy long-term foods. Also, make sure you have a good first aid kit. Make sure you can preserve or purify water and store it. Make sure you have blue tarps for your roof in case you get a leak, okay? And the proper clothing that you need for whatever season you're in. That's all you have to do. And if you lower your living standards a little bit, you can save some money. And by saving the money, then you can afford paying cash, like I do. You have a good week. We'll talk to you next week. And also check us out on My World on Wednesday at 8 o'clock. That's when we have some fun. See ya.